the first few years of my life, I had a best friend named Sarah. I was born on December 31st, and she was born on January 1st. We shared a baptism at which the minister held us both and told the congregation, this one was a tax deduction, and this one wasn't. We also shared birthday parties over the years, with my family returning to Mississippi for the occasion, even after we had moved away. Being born within hours of each other gave us many opportunities to celebrate together. But the truth was that the connection between Sarah and I and our families was really deepened by the fact that we were both born with significant eye problems. For both of our families, our first years were spent seeking out pediatric ophthalmologists and having multiple eye surgeries. But with Sarah as my best friend, it was easy to think that all those visits, giant paper sunglasses for dilated eyes, and attempts to take off my patches when my parents weren't looking were just part of a normal childhood. After my family moved multiple times farther and farther away, and after successful surgeries eventually allowed us to pursue our own quite different interests, Sarah and I lost touch. However, when we reconnected on Facebook a couple decades later, I found her favorite quotes, which were, I believe in Christianity as I believe that the sun has risen, not only because I see it, but because by it I see everything else, by C.S. Lewis, and one by Henry Miller. One's destination is never a place, but a new way of seeing things. As you may have noticed, if you've received an email from me, mine was and is from a few lines of Elizabeth Barrett Browning. Earth's crammed with heaven, and every common bush afire with God, but only he who sees takes off his shoes. I found it fascinating that decades after our toddler friendship, and after years of relentless commitment by our parents to give us the ability to see, we both knew that vision was much more than just the physical ability to see, and we both valued a deeper understanding of what it meant to truly see our world. Today, our whole gospel story is about being able to truly see, being able to see others as God does, and we learn from Jesus how God sees our world. As Jesus is walking by, we are told that he sees a man who is blind from birth. Perhaps his disciples notice him truly seeing this man, not just passing by, and so they turn the conversation to him. They ask, Rabbi, who sinned? This man or his parents, that he was born blind. We may think that we are quite different from ancient people. We would never assume that a condition someone is born with was the cause of their own moral failing, and we generally don't blame the parents either. But when we think about the reaction and the heart of the question, we are more like the disciples than we would like to admit. They see a man whose blindness in his day meant he was reduced to begging, and their question is, why does he suffer? Whose fault is it? And the only answers they suggest to those questions are the man or his parents. The disciples do not ask what they might be able to do to help the man. Even after seeing many miracles of Jesus, they don't ask Jesus to help him. And they certainly don't ask what, if anything, they do might contribute to his suffering. Upon seeing his pain, they ask a theological question, a question that absolves themselves of any responsibility towards him. But Jesus sees the situation differently. He answers their question, saying that neither the man nor his parents sinned. But then he changes direction. And our translation actually adds words that are not there. The Greek does not include the phrase, he was born blind, in Jesus' answer. It simply says, but that the works of God might be revealed in him, we must work those works of God. Instead of saying why the man suffers, Jesus focuses on what we must do. We must do the works of God, which is to relieve the man's suffering. In the man, Jesus sees someone who is suffering, and he sees an opportunity for God's work to be done. God's work of healing people, of giving people life with opportunity to be who they were created to be. Notice Jesus does not say, I must work the works of him who sent me. Jesus says, we must work the works of God. even though he single-handedly goes on to make the man able to see. What do we have to do with it? Just making the man see does not end his suffering. It was not his blindness that actually caused his suffering, but rather a society that assumed his blindness was his fault or his parents, a society that left him with no possibilities except sitting by the road and begging. Simply restoring his sight would not end his suffering, as the story goes on to show. Healing then and now takes the work of a community, and this is the work that God demands of us. 37 years ago this week, Oscar Romero, the Archbishop of El Salvador, spoke similar words of knowing that this was what God requires of us all. On March 24th, 1980, Romero stood at the altar of a small hospital chapel and gave a homily before celebrating the Mass. While he was speaking, a car pulled up outside the open doors directly in front of him. As they pretended to fix a tire, Romero, knowing that these were assassins who had come for him, had time to run out of a side door. But he knew that to do so would mean the assassins would kill those in the chapel as they chased him. So instead, he continued his homily. In those last words, he said, "We know that every effort to better society, especially when injustice and sin are so ingrained, is an effort that God blesses, that God wants, that God demands of us." This is what God blesses, what God wants, what God demands of us. That when we see suffering, we do whatever we can to relieve the suffering of other people, both physical suffering and the parts of our society that cause suffering. In our gospel story, we see that healing is always the work of a community, of a society. The man's sight is quickly relieved by Jesus, taking only the first few of our whole 41 verses. But healing him, relieving his suffering of being rejected from society, that will require a community. And we see in the story that it is much harder work. The man receives his sight, but the hard work is everyone else learning to see. Notice that after the man is healed, people struggle to even recognize him. The man's entire identity was his disability, his status as a beggar. And even when that primary marker of his identity is gone, they're not sure how to see him as anything but the sinner that they had assumed he was. It means that this man's suffering was not due to his lack of sin, and so they have to see the world differently. It means seeing that their lack of suffering is not due to their own righteousness. It means that he was not a sinner suffering at the hands of God when they passed him by, but rather an innocent man suffering at their hands. The healing of this man throws assumptions about community and society and their very selves into question. It means they must learn to see the world differently than they used to, and seeing differently means living differently. We so often quote Jesus in this passage when he says, "I am the light of the world." It is a beautiful and hopeful thing, the light that has come into our world. But the same light that brightens the darkness also illumines it to see things we would sometimes rather avoid. Seeing as God does will force us to see the brokenness of our world and our complicity in it, and we can never unsee that. It's hard to see these truths so often because it brings up guilt and shame in us that we would rather avoid. But the work of God in our lives, especially in this season of Lent, is not to make us wallow in guilt or shame. As God opens our eyes, it is an invitation to join in making the world more like God created it to be. God is always calling us to join in the work begun by Jesus, always calling us to open our eyes and see the world as God does. God is working in you and in me, in all of us, to open our eyes, and it is never too late to learn to see in a new way. The man we celebrate this week, Oscar Romero, is one of the greatest examples to me of someone learning to see and being willing to be used by God in a new way. Romero was a conservative Catholic priest for his entire life, and when he became archbishop, those who advocated for the poor and oppressed in El Salvador were worried because of his conservative stance and his support for the authorities that oppressed people. However, a month later, Romero's close friend, Rutilio Grande, was assassinated. At almost 60 years old, Romero realized that by his support for institutions and by his silence against oppression, he was taking part of the suffering of his people in El Salvador. He opened his eyes to the suffering of people all around him and began to use the power and privilege he had been given to speak on their behalf, to do everything he could to work for a society that looked more like the kingdom of God. God is always calling us to join in the work begun by Jesus, always calling us to open our eyes and see the world as God does. One way that I believe God is working to open our eyes here is through the work of some people in our congregation to develop an international partnership for St. Paul's. They've chosen an organization in El Salvador called Christosol. There will be questions in the coming days and months about what we can do for them. But first, we must be willing to let them do something for us. They will open our eyes to realities in our world. And while I cannot tell you exactly what the future will hold, I can promise you that it will change us, as we are invited to join the work of healing our world. Because what anyone in this story can tell you is that new sight always changes us. Sometimes we see in a new way suddenly, like the man born blind. Maybe it's messy and muddy and we can't quite explain what happened, but suddenly everything has become clear. The truth is, my journey has often been more like the way I received my physical sight, slowly, in a long process of hard work and by the patient efforts of many others. God works in all of our lives in different ways, but what is the same for all of us is what we are called to do when our eyes are opened. We must do the work of God to heal those who are hurting, to relieve suffering, and to change ourselves and our community and our society into the world God created us for, a place where the blind can see, the lost are found, and all are welcomed at the table and free to live as the glorious children of God that we all are. As we walk this Lenten journey, may our eyes be opened like the man born blind. May our hearts be transformed like Oscar Romero. And may we set out to do the work that we must do, the work of our God who has healed us. Amen.